Marketing and sales, those are the two activities that you can do, and it can be applied to any niche. It's like, you don't learn marketing, you learn consumer psychology. That's where you really can start taking content to the next level. And that's like a big part of what we do right there. What are feelings and emotions people want to feel, and showcasing that in the video or photo. Me and you both know, like, we both want to do less work and make more. That's everyone's dream job right there.
Sure.
And that's how you can go after that wealthier demographic. It's like one of my favorite ways to go when it comes down to like charging more. This is where positioning comes into play.
Sure.
How do you position your brand? How do you want people to perceive your brand? You can position yourself to appeal to a certain demographic. And then it's like, what type of content do we need to create that's going to resonate with them around our product or service?
It's obviously a high leverage activity.
I think for local businesses, I think the biggest things that they're untapped in is creating content that people actually want to watch. It all comes down to is like, what do people want to feel?
That's interesting. That's really good stuff. Everybody should think about those things. What's up, guys? Bo here with the One Big Head Game podcast, another episode today. Pretty excited. I'm talking to somebody here across from me that I don't know. I don't know much about him. I know a little bit about him. I've done a little digging on social media. Seems to be a very successful guy surrounding the social media, not only influence space, but marketing space. And he seems to be quite an expert on it, I would say. So it's very valuable stuff. If you're interested in starting a YouTube channel or just getting more visibility for your business on social media, or just not sure how to get all this content out there, just like I was before I started this podcast, this would be a good guy to talk to, it seems like. And I'm pretty pumped because this is the stuff that I do, and I don't really know what I'm doing most of the time. I'm just kind of taking it one step at a time, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what kind of gems, what kind of good information he has for a guy like me in my space with a podcast and businesses I'm trying to promote online, and for everybody else out there. And I'm sure he's got a cool story along the way. You know, at the end of the day, he's an entrepreneur too, but he's got a lot of success recently on a lot of the online things that he has been pushing for years, I would assume. So we're going to get right into it. This is Nick Terrio. Nick, intro yourself, bro. What's going on? How you doing today?
I think I'm more shocked that you said my last name correctly.
Well, hey, I'm a Louisiana boy, man. I'm not gonna mess Terrio up.
It's always like, yeah, a Thariot or
Thariot. Man, you've been hanging out with some northern people or those Arizona people too much, man.
Hey, a lot of people
back in Louisiana. All right?
Absolutely. A lot of people like to say the Riot.
The Riot.
My dad was in the State Police Academy and stuff like that, and they would always call them the Riot. So ever since then, it's kind of carried over from my dad to me and my brother as well.
That's interesting. The Riot. Yeah, that's interesting. Kind of like everybody Bo at Starbucks. It's like B-E-A-U-X. I'm like, nah, I'm not no X, man. I'm from Louisiana, but not that.
Not that.
I'm not from Lafayette.
Not that Louisiana.
I'm not that Cajun, you know?
Yeah, just on that borderline right there.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit about what do you do for business right now? You know, what's your main source of income, and what are you trying to do for business?
Absolutely.
Start with that, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
Yeah, so I run Facebook advertising. Okay. So, you know, when you, after a long day of work, you sit down and have a beer, and you scroll through Facebook and see those little sponsored posts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be a little aggravating, but that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I've done a little over $100 million in revenue for my clients at my advertising agency, purely by running those ads right there. And
excellent.
I mean, we've came into businesses and taken them from like $1,000 a day to $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 a day in revenue. So that's our specialty right there, is growing brands online. And more in the consumer psychology is where we kind of pride ourselves of, you know, kind of like we were talking about earlier in a second, you know, what do I have to say to get a reaction out of people, to where it's going to amplify our content to get us more customers, more clicks, more leads into our business.
Yeah, interesting. And most of your avenue is through Facebook, or is it the other social media platforms?
Yeah, so Facebook itself, that's the mechanism, the tool we use to generate our clients' money. And then on top of that, obviously, I have to do my own marketing as well to get clients.
Sure.
And you know, I don't really do much like cold outreach and reaching out to people for, you know, to sell our agency services. What we typically do is have a YouTube channel. I've been uploading now since 2020.
Yeah.
This is like my third or fourth YouTube channel I've actually had in my life.
Really?
Okay. My first YouTube channel was actually at 12 years old. That's when I started my first online business at 12 years old. So,
wow. Interesting.
But yeah, last 4 years I've been teaching people, digital advertising principles, consumer psychology, how to run Facebook ads and stuff on YouTube. And
yeah,
grown that from zero to now we're about to hit 30K. We're at 27,000 subscribers and get roughly about 100,000 views a month on that. So,
yeah.
And that's what I use to kind of promote my own business to get clients from agency.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I would assume. And also, you're not the type of business that needs 100 million customers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just need a few customers to do good for, you know, you do good work for them. And, and ultimately, word of mouth spreads very strongly in that space because there's a ton of people in that space trying to play around in many different ways, right? Like marketing, lead services, you know, cold email stuff from overseas. I mean, there's the idea of marketing as a niche or something. There's so many different areas you can attack it, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, you actually bring up a really great point right there about like, yeah, we don't want a lot of customers.
Don't need them.
We keep ourselves, I only keep it to where we only work with 10 clients at a time.
Excellent.
I don't want to work with more than 10 clients at a time. And you know, my smallest client ever was $500 a month. And then I guess the single client that paid me the most in a single month was $55,000 in a single month from one client.
Wow.
And I look at it kind of like from like a watch principle. You know, I see you got a nice watch as well. I'm big into watches and everything like that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you look at the watches that you can get at like Walmart, Target, people sell for $25, $30, $50.
It's not even worth it.
Not worth it. But then you go look at like how many Richard Millies are made per year.
Yeah, and like, it's like 1.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is because there's so few of them, it drives the price up. So I kind of apply the same principles right there with my agency. I want to work with few clients, which charge a lot, so I can go really deep with you and provide a high level of service to you.
Yeah.
And same thing for my students. You know, I have 100 paid students a month that I mentor on a monthly basis. And about a year ago, I was charging 50% less than what I charge now, simply just to increase the value for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Outstanding, man. That's such a fascinating space to me because, you know, I own a construction business, and it's a new business. You know, I've done a lot of different business in the past, but getting eyeballs, we were talking about it before we started this podcast. You know, he was asking me what my goal was with the podcast, and I was like, you know, it's hard to determine. Really, it was personal. You know, it was many different things, but really, it was about keep continuing to grow and understand not only human psychology, like you were talking about, but how to elicit a response from people, and so I can do it for myself long term. You know, every time that I do this, every conversation I have with a guy like you, I learn about it, and that can't be taken away from me. You know, so it's fascinating.
Yeah.
So what does go ahead?
That's like my favorite thing about like online advertising is consumer psychology, because it's like you don't learn marketing. You learn consumer psychology. Mm-hmm. And then once you learn what grabs people's attentions, what certain emotions to pull and certain emotions not to pull, that's where you really can start taking content to the next level.
Yeah. Fascinating, man. Are most of your clients that you work with on a very intimate basis, I'll say, are they online businesses? Mm-hmm. They're selling products online?
Yeah. So all of our clients, I'd say like 90% of our clients are online, selling like physical products, e-commerce and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Work with a lot of supplement brands and clothing brands. Typically we kind of come in when they're doing about $100,000 a month and we'll help them scale. It's about $3 to $5 million a month. That's usually like our kind of like perfect client fit.
And what is the difference between $100,000 and $3 million a month?
So this is where it starts to get to.
Like, what's the difference in what that company is doing besides hiring you?
That's a really great question right there. Big thing comes down to their content. So usually when you start running Facebook ads and stuff and start advertising, a lot of business owners, the first thing they do is start talking about their product. Hey, I have this amazing product. You know, buy it. It does all these cool things.
Right.
The problem with that is that you really only kind of appeal into the people that are actively looking for that product.
Sure.
When you start to scale and you need to reach more people, now you start shifting away from people that already actively know about that type of product and start looking at people's kind of like psychographics of, hey, like I really want to make more money.
Yeah.
You know, how do I make more money?
Yeah.
I don't know what the product is. I don't know what the mechanism or the tool that's going to make me more money.
Yeah.
So I have to start off with, hey, look, Bo, I know you want to make more money right now. And I know there's like a, probably you saw, I saw a lot of courses online, probably think they're all scams and stuff like that. But I want to show you this really cool method that helps people, you know, 3 to 4x their personal income by using some unique tool, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I start connecting with you based off what you want and showing you things based off what you want. Then I introduce my product.
Yeah.
And that expands the amount of people that I can actively target, because there's way more people that want to make more money versus the amount of people that know about Forex trading courses, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the biggest, I would say, lever we pull. And then we polish all that up. So if you want to make more money, what are all the different ways we can reinforce that desire that our product was going to make you the most money? Then we introduce the product.
Yeah.
Once we already got your attention based off what you want.
Okay. So, but still, the difference in the company is obviously creating this content, or somebody is creating it for them. You know, I don't know if how integral your process is in the creation of that content, or whether you're deploying it in the right way. You know, I'm sure there's a mixture there. But what is the difference in the actual, like, are they just spending a lot more money to get that?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple different factors. Obviously, you have to look at your fulfillment and customer service, because when you start scaling from $100,000 a month to $3 to $5 million a month, you know, you're
going to have problems.
30xing your 30xing your, like, your everything, you know, the amount of products you're shipping on a daily basis, customer service and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But from an advertising perspective, obviously you're going after a larger audience, more mass appeal audience, and connecting with people and then spending more. I mean, that's very obvious one. Yeah,
yeah.
We're spending anywhere from, you know, 100K a month in revenue, you're probably spending about 30K a month to achieve that.
Yeah.
3 to 5 million. I mean, you're spending, you know, 10, 20, 30K a day. In ad spend to hit that. So you are spending significantly more. And then there'll be also some other factors in terms of like client retention and stuff like that.
How does somebody get to the point? Are they the people that pay that? You talk to a lot of people who are doing that 100K a month. They probably have had marketers and ad guys help them to achieve that even, right? So they have experience in it. When does someone jump in and say, okay, I'm about to just unload my capital on this one thing or this one methodology? Facebook is one platform. How do people make, I haven't made that decision. You know, I haven't put all my money on the line and gone all in on ads because I don't understand it enough. You know, it's very, it's very complicated to me even, and I understand eyeballs, all this kind of stuff. But, and also have a different type of business. It's a little bit less consistent as I sell this product, I ship it, and I make the net, you know? But, like, I'm just interested in the psychology, not of, like, you getting the minds of people interested in your product, but the psychology it takes to actually double down and pay that money in ad spend, you know?
That's
Do you ever discuss that with, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because
you're overcoming that hurdle on every consultation that you're on.
Yeah, that's a really great question right there. So to a certain degree, we actually never really come into this objection. It's more so people that are just getting into Facebook. That's where we have to really kind of dig into this.
Yeah, me, like me.
Yeah,
and that's, kind of. That's, I mean, I've had Facebook forever, but like I haven't unloaded that kind of money.
Yeah, but going into the ad side,
yeah,
the ads game. So, and this is where it kind of starts back in like my early journey. Like my first business ever was a detailing, but well, second or third business ever was a detailing business
service,
and I needed a way to grow that business fast, and one of the ways was Facebook. And the reason why is because out of all the different like mechanisms of advertising, TV commercials, newspapers and stuff like that, the cool thing about Facebook is you could start off literally as little as $5 a day. And there is no commitment to that. Like I could literally go open up a brand new Facebook ad account today, toss a $5 bill at it, and then turn it off tomorrow. And that's it.
Yeah.
So you're only really spending more as you see results.
Yeah.
So these people that are spending 30K a month, they didn't just go open up a Facebook account, toss $30,000 at it.
Yeah.
They started off at $5 a day.
Yeah.
Then 10, then 30, and they kept growing it as they saw results. That's that's also the beauty about Facebook ads is you only increase the spend if you're seeing results.
Yeah. 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 That's what I wanted to know because like that means that those people have incrementally increased that ad spend and that risk as they've grown and as they've grown their business. Yeah. Which makes sense to me. You know, and I do that. I mean, I boost posts, you know, give a little boost every once in a while, you know what I mean? Just for fun.
Yeah, we can get you off of that.
Or, this one got a little bit more views, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make that much of a difference, but yeah, and I've played around with it a little bit myself, you know, in the past. My wife has a very, in my opinion, a very sweet spot business mm-hmm. where she can really capitalize, because we've done some very mediocre type of advertising on Facebook, and it's been positive. Mm-hmm. And so if I can do it, you definitely know if you did it, it would be very good, you know? Yeah. And it's a cleaner service, a little different than what I offer. But that's very interesting. So you started your first business at 12 years old, you said? Was
yeah.
it 12?
Yeah, so it was 12.
I mean, it was a YouTube channel?
Yeah, it was a YouTube okay. channel. 12, you're videoing 12 yourself? 12 years old. I was videoing myself playing Call of Duty.
All right.
And
that's interesting.
Yeah, I just discovered YouTube back in like 2010. And then that was when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, were you shy about that when you were 12? Like, obviously, like, why'd you do that?
Because I saw people playing Call of Duty all day and making money from YouTube AdSense.
Okay, so you saw money and then you did it for money?
Yes, yeah, so I saw money and Call of Duty. And I was like, why not try? Yeah, why go okay. like, you know, if I can just, instead of getting a job, just play Call yeah. of Duty all day and make money from YouTube AdSense, like that's dream world. Because again, at time, yeah. 12 years old, sixth grade, like the only thing on my mind is video games.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So discovered YouTube, discovered the AdSense. I borrowed my parents' camera and I literally just set the camera up on a tripod similar to this, just at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just talk behind the camera. So no one could even see me, yeah. but they would hear my commentary.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. And I started my first YouTube channel. And the reason why I say it's kind of a business is because moving forward a little bit into that, I started editing other people's videos. So I had my own like little YouTube video editing agency for a period of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was making like, you know, $50 per video. That would take me a week to edit. But again, I'm seventh, eighth grade making $50 a video. Like, yeah. you know, that's a pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. At that age, for sure, too.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. You did that instinctively at that young of an age. Like, I mean, I was 12 years old a long time before you, I would assume. How old are you?
27.
Yeah, I'm 35. But yeah, I would have never thought about that. I just started, you know, kind of getting into the cameras and stuff like that. But what's interesting too is like, you did that then, you know, I was talking to you before the podcast of like kind of my fears with putting myself out there on screen, on the internet, stuff like that. I mean, that's something that was very real to me. Even though I didn't talk about, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has that until they do it. Right. Did you ever get to the point where like you did that, but then it like came back and you're like, wait a second, I'm an adult and, you know, perceptions matter and maybe I don't want to put my face on everything. Like, mm-hmm. what was that like for you?
I mean, it's like there is pros and cons to growing a personal brand. Like one of the pros to it is obviously like the connections and stuff. You meet people. You also have a lot more business inbound business and stuff like that that comes in from you because people enjoy your stuff.
Yeah.
I would say like literally the only con to it is now it's you have to watch your own image. You know, like if let's just say hypothetically I'm not this person, but if I wanted to go get like drunk and at a bar and like,
sure.
you know, be a bad person to other people, for example,
yeah.
like you would go viral online real quick and like you get yeah. canceled and stuff like that, where like yeah. I know people that they could easily go do that and no one knows what they own or anything like that. So
dude.
There is a certain level of like people understand your, you know, your life a little bit more than mm-hmm. other people. So that's like the only con. Again, I'm not that type of person. It's like, I don't really care about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But as far as like, yeah, you do like getting started in the beginning, you will have that fears of putting yourself out there. And, you know, I don't really know like the exact point of like, oh, like just tell you these magical affirmations to like get over it.
No.
I think for me was that I saw putting myself out there equal money.
Yeah.
And at the time when I was money driven and wanted to grow my business, I kept putting it off. And that desire for money kept growing and growing and growing to the point where my desire for making more money overcame the fears I had of, you know, needing to put myself out there.
Yeah.
To the point where I just didn't care. I was yeah. just like, whatever. Like, yeah. you know, yeah. I'm broke. I don't have any money. I need to get this business off the ground. I'm yep. going to start creating content. Who cares what people think I am?
Yeah. 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 I always like to ask people that, especially people who are actually doing it. You know, a lot of mm-hmm. my guests that I have on, They're very successful people, but some of them aren't doing that. You're doing it. Obviously, I'm trying to do it as much as I can, you know. And I definitely had to get over that too. It is just something that you have to. There's many different reasons why people do it, you know. Mine was similar to that. It wasn't quite, I don't think it was quite as much the money, but it was like, I want to live a life like this, like XYZ. You know what I mean? And that requires me to put myself out there, be visible to people, and be transparent with people, and be vulnerable with people. And for the longest time, I hid that from people, you know, just like people do, you know, you hide it from people. And I guess that's what stopped me. And eventually I was like, you know, something's got to give. You know, if I'm going to push brands, if I'm going to do this stuff, like, there's no better way anyway to do it. Practically speaking, there's nothing more high leverage than exactly what we're doing right now. It's videoing ourselves, and you may be the only one watching this, but, you know, 5 weeks from now, somebody's going to click on it too, and I'm going to be doing something else, and they're going to be watching us and getting value from it. So it's obviously a high leverage activity.
But, yeah, I had a YouTube video, like one of the like the first times, like you speak about like high leverage and stuff like that.
Sure?
Like,
yeah. You do too.
So yeah,
you've said leverage a lot in this conversation.
It's so important as a business owner. Yeah. But I had a YouTube video that I'm on like third YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
And I had a YouTube video uploaded around, like, I was just playing around with, you know, here's how you can run your Facebook ads and stuff like that. Here's how to scale your Facebook ads. And first ever video I made around Facebook ads. And I think it got like 100, 200 views from it. And then I got an email about probably like 6 months later after that video was uploaded.
Wow.
And someone messaged me and said, hey,
I need help.
I'm spending like $30,000 a month on Facebook ads. I'm struggling with performance. Can we hop on a call tomorrow and, you know, help out?
Yeah.
And I thought it was a scam at first, because at that time, like, I was
spending, didn't get a lot of those calls either.
Correct.
Probably, if it was only 200 views.
The most I was ever spending at that time was $50 to $100 a day. So $30,000 was a large sum. So I thought it was a scam at first.
Yeah.
And got on the call that next day with them. And I closed them by the end of the day for a $5,000 a month retainer. And that was my first ever $5,000 a month client. Cause at the time, wow, I was just charging like $500 to $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
And that's when it made me realize the power of social media. And again, I already knew it, but it just reinforced the fact.
Yeah, you finally felt that.
Yeah.
I in my journey thus far, I've felt it a few times. Like, I'll have customers who, you know, my sales guy makes contact with them. Mm-hmm. You know, door knocking is a big thing, and roofing. I do a lot of roofing. But they'll look me up. They'll look up the business. They'll see me on the business page, and then they'll naturally go to my other personal brand pages, then my personal page, and they'll see it on Instagram, and then they'll find out that I have a podcast. Then they'll watch some of that. They're like, you have a podcast? And I'm like, yeah. But they get a kick out of it, and they like it. And that's my thing. I haven't cracked the code on an ad or anything yet, but I've seen that too, and it's fascinating how that works.
You can also look at it from this perspective right here. It's like, you can grow this podcast, and, you know, I know you've had a lot of people kind of local to Lafayette right now.
Exactly,
that's come on it, so you can grow it as like a Lafayette podcast, for example.
Sure.
And you don't have to worry about trying to sell a product from it. You don't have to worry about selling type of coaching or any type of products from it. But what you can do is, you can control the sponsors, and the sponsors of the podcast can be your businesses. No one has to know that.
Yeah.
So your sponsor could be your roofing company, for example.
Yeah. And we'll take a quick break for our sponsor, Color Wheel LLC. It's a roofing and restoration company in Lafayette, Louisiana. And back to our natural programming.
Okay. There you go. So that way,
did my first one.
That way you can grow your brand and grow your organic reach and stuff.
Yeah.
And that way no one has to feel sold on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's cool too.
Yeah. And then when you promote too many products, people also can kind of get kind of iffy.
Yeah. There's like a fatigue there, isn't there? I don't know. Maybe that's a term. I don't know. I just made it up, but I get fatigue from it. Like, I was listening to one that was an outstanding podcast that somebody shared with me today. And it was just 15 minutes, extremely clever, extremely interesting. I mean, it had everything. It was good, and it was just audio. I didn't watch a video, but it was a lot of ads. I was surprised that I kept watching it. It was that good, you know, but it was a lot of ads, and there is some fatigue going on there.
Yeah.
So if you were telling me what I should do with my podcast, let's just turn this into a quick consultation, you know. What would you do? I want to – my goal with the podcast is to – share interesting stories, captivating stories, inspiring stories, with the goal of helping people change their circumstance by using the power of their mind. Okay, so it's called One Big Head Game. We've been talking about one big marketing thus far on this one. But most of the time, it's impactful stories about other people's journey to help people understand, by the anecdotal evidence of another person's story, how they can, you know, change their mind and ultimately, you know, change their life. You know, that's the goal. And it's mindset. It's mindset is what it is, you know. So it's kind of a general niche, you know. But it's not Lafayette-based, but my studio is in Lafayette, obviously, so it's hard to get people to fly in for it with the viewership I have right now. So what do you think, you know?
I love mindset. I mean, I'm a junkie for that right there.
For sure, me too.
And also, too, I mean, people love stories.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a psychological thing.
Yeah,
people love stories. They love to see, you know, big wins. They love to see, you know, like, people overcoming things.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
I think that's probably, like, also, like, one of my favorite things, like, podcasts as well, is being able to understand the internal dialogue people go through when they're going through something tough. Because that's how, like, I can apply that to different areas and different facets of, like, my life as well.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I like that a lot.
That's what I like. Like, we've had some really good ones, man. The people who are either working at a high level, or they've overcome, you know, insurmountable obstacles. And hearing those stories is just very powerful. And I get a front row seat. That's one thing that I like about the podcast, you know, is that I get to hear those and I get to seek those stories out, you know. Have you ever seen Rudy? Rudy Rudiger from Notre Dame?
No.
Never seen that?
No.
You're a little bit too young, maybe. It's an older movie. But anyway, it's a story about a guy, Rudy Rudiger, who's a small guy, little guy, you know, but had dreams of playing football at Notre Dame, you know. But he's like no athletic ability, you know, just some little runt guy, basically. But it's a story about him and how he finally walked on to Notre Dame, and there's a lot of things that happened before that, and he actually got on the team, on the practice squad, and worked his way up, and finally got into a game and played. And it's one of the most impactful stories I've heard. But I have you probably didn't see it, but I have a thing signed by him up there on my wall in the other room.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I DM'd Rudy to be on the show, but he hasn't responded. If you see that message, Rudy, you know, my dog is named Rudy, okay? You need to come on this podcast, dude. but yeah, that's the kind of stories that get me, man. That's what I grew up on. And I walked on to McNeese, you know, in Lake Charles. I walked on. I mean, I had a little bit of athletic ability, you know, I would say, but I do the same thing, man. I'm all about that, and I just want to share those kind of stories because I find them inspirational. But I don't know if I need to tighten the niche into just Lafayette or anything like that. I don't know. I feel like I can just do whatever I want, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want. Like, it's not necessarily you have to do a certain demographic.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning when you're starting off, you're usually going after the people like, you know, friends, family.
Yeah, I've kind of exhausted that.
Yeah, so now you're starting to get into that, like, all right, you know, who do you refer? And I'm guessing that's what you did with Josh Corey, because I know he's the one that put me and you in touch.
He threw it out. Most of the times I don't ask, and they just naturally happen like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Like, a lot of people that I've known about here, but I haven't really connected with. A lot of guys, especially Jace Lopez, you know, he's a really good guy around here, and he introduced me to some great people. And I don't know, every guest has somebody else they think would be good in that chair, you know, and they share it. I rarely ask for it. They just share it. But
that's amazing. That's
kind of how it goes. That's what's been cool, too, you know. Outside of business or anything like that, I'm constantly connecting with people. And I don't know, it's fun.
Yeah, that's usually what you'll do. You'll start from the beginning kind of locally and everything like that, and then, you know, you might start getting to a point where, like, you might be start connecting with people outside of the city, and then some people might want you to go fly out there and do the podcast with them, eventually, till you get to the point where it's like, all right, your podcast is big enough to where it's like, yeah, I'm willing to fly in to come
because of the exposure.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be pretty big, you know, Theo Von style. You know? but no, that's okay. But But yeah, back to you, man. Let's see. So 12 years old, first YouTube channel. What was your second one about?
Yeah, so first YouTube channel was kind of a little bit of everything. I think in the beginning, this is where like a lot of content creators are at. They're just posting around a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second channel was just a little bit more, I would say, focused on one type of content. And that was just me editing Call of Duty videos for people, and people are paying me and stuff like that. So,
okay.
And then from there, my third channel is my Facebook ads channel I have now. But I pretty much, I did like the Call of Duty editing and gaming and stuff like that from like sixth grade to, I think the last time I posted a video around that was like my senior year of high school. Going into high school and everything like that, I was pretty set on just getting a mechanical engineering degree and open up a machine shop. That was my goal.
Yeah.
And then over time that changed. My senior of high school, after I graduated, pretty much going from like that summer into like freshman year of college, I took an online course on how to do like financial trading and stuff, forex trading and all that good stuff right there. And that opened my mind to entrepreneurship, working for yourself, mindset, all of these avenues of which, like, okay, because I at first I thought only YouTube channels was the way to make money online, because that's all I had, like the limited perspective at the time.
Yeah.
And then that's when I was like, all right, I need to, you know, if you don't know anything about like stock trading stuff, you need money to make money. You can't just go make money with stock trading if you have $0 in your bank account.
Yeah.
So opened up a detailing business and serving Lafayette, and I pretty much ran that from like 2015 to, I literally walked away from the partnership back in like, it was like literally right when COVID shut down. Okay. Everyone, that's when I walked away. And I was Cajun Suds Auto Detailing.
Cajun Suds.
Yeah.
So what did that business look like as far as, you know, the amount of people helping you with that business, or was it just you? What was that like?
Yeah, so it was me. I had a business partner, 50-50 at the time. and we started together. It was literally just doing mobile detailing out of my truck.
Yeah.
I did that for pretty much for like a year, mobile detailing. I dropped out of college end of my second semester of college.
Yeah.
I just dropped out. Yeah. There was a mentor around that. I always tell people he convinced me to drop out of college, but he more just kind of painted the picture for me whether or not I should keep going for college, and then I made my own decision.
Yeah, that's good. you know, you're dropping out.
Yeah.
You got potential. You drop out now. That wouldn't be a good mentor. Not that I'm a big proponent of college anymore. I've been through all of the college.
Yeah.
But
he just painted the picture because of where I was going. I was like, okay, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then so I did the detailing business with my buddy. Again, partnership and stuff like that. We did mobile detailing for about 2 years, just me and him. And then we ended up starting to hire, like, you know, we'd have friends come help us so we could do like more vehicles per day doing the mobile detailing.
Yeah.
And pretty much like the last 2 years of it, we ended up getting a actual shop location, physical location.
It's a big step.
Where people could drop their car off. We'd detail it. We're doing ceramic coating as well. So that's something that was a big lever for us to have higher ticket deals to make more with
higher less ticket work. Items, yeah.
Absolutely.
Much higher. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
That was a big thing for us. And this whole time, as mentioned, like I started the business with $5 a day in Facebook ads to actually promote it and get the name and stuff like that out there.
Is that where you first, that was your main avenue there? That's when you first kind of started the ad space.
Correct. Yeah.
And then, so you were just like the person, the hypothetical person that we were talking about earlier, as far as dipping your toe in it. Getting the rewards and eventually getting to the point where you probably were spending a good amount of money doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, like Tom, like I think I probably had like $150 in my bank account at the time.
Yeah.
You know, $5 a day. Oh, that's no big deal at all.
Well, compared to 150, that's a lot, you know? But you're putting all your money. That's a big amount. Technically. But
also too, what I liked about it, again, like I said, like I could risk $5 today.
Sure.
Nothing came. Cool. I could turn that off.
Yeah.
You know, there's no commitment to that long term. So I'll start off at $5 a day, and I think I ran that for a week, and then I think I got like 4 or 5 details from that. Yeah. So it's about $35 to get about $400 or $500 in revenue for the business.
Yeah.
And so I just kept doing that, and throughout the whole time running this business, I fell in love with the marketing and advertising side because again, high leverage. If you know, if I could focus on this one skill set and with an hour, 2 hours of work, bring in $10,000 to $20,000 worth of vehicles in the shop that week to, you know, ceramic coat, paint correct, all that good stuff, like, that's a way higher leverage than me go knocking doors or me go and, you know, like bugging people, calling, cold calling and all that good stuff right there.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. So you walked away from that around COVID, you said. You stopped doing that. And so I'm assuming before COVID, you started getting more clients online and everything, right? That's why you felt confident getting away from that or giving up that source of income or whatever it was.
Correct. Yeah. I think I was working probably, you know, 40 hours a week with that business, making like $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then that's when I closed my first, I worked with two or three clients before I closed my first $5,000 a month client. And that first $5,000 a month client was about 2-3 months before COVID. I was like, hey, I'm spending, you know, 4 hours a month on this client. They're paying me $5,000 and I'm making them 4 to 5x more on their return. And I'm making 2.5 times more than the detailing business is for significantly less work. So that's, again, when I started to understand leverage of your time and everything like that. So closed like one more client before COVID. So I went to COVID with two clients. I mean, $10,000 a month, and that's all profit for 8 hours a month of work.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Let me think for a second. Okay, so from there until now, what has happened, you know?
From there, it's just been doubling down on everything.
Yeah.
So, you know,
how committing, number one, committing to this business as your main everything, right? Assisting people get more attention and get more clients online.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So, I think the biggest thing that, you know, once I started stepping into this business is not getting distracted. So, you know, in the beginning, I was starting every business in the beginning. You know, I think around the time I started my detailing business, I was also dabbling in like 5 to 6 other things. You know, I was like in 2 different MLM offers.
Yeah.
I was, you know, just kind of all over the place in the sense of just trying to test everything to see what I find passionate about and what do I like.
Wouldn't you say that all those other things that you were adding in, you were trying to add money to your situation, weren't you?
Absolutely.
The main thing that you were doing, maybe it was the detailing, right? Because that's the one you mentioned in this conversation, wasn't making you enough. So you were grabbing, right? You were trying to grab to find whatever it is. And you did find it. You did find this, right? Like your marketing avenue, digital marketing. But I just find that dynamic right there very interesting because I've been through it too. And I feel like maybe people don't talk about it quite as much. You know, when you're first starting out and you're first starting as a business owner or a proprietor, if you don't get the results that you want to move on. You want to find those other things. And sometimes that's a mistake. You know, sometimes it's not because then you find the other thing that you're more passionate about. You can make more money and it's a higher leverage activity like you're talking about. But a lot of the time, it is just a distraction. And you could probably say that a lot of those were distractions. Or you could say, you know, mentally that those were all just things that I had to knock out before I realized what it was, you know, and what I wanted to do. There's so many different perspectives on that. But I just wanted to highlight that that's going on and that happens with probably most everybody.
It's perfectly normal.
Most people are like that. Some people, like, find that one thing and then boom, and they get enough success to where they won't go down those rabbit holes, you know?
And in a way, I think this is more like a skill set that everyone learns in life.
Yeah.
So like the few people that I know that's, yeah, they found that one thing and then boom. But also too, you don't see like I look at the different types of personal characteristics someone needs to become to be able to achieve that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, yes, maybe that person first try, boom. But you also don't understand or seen the personal battles he's had or she's with other things in life that set them up for that success that they have now.
That they fit, that puzzle piece fits perfectly in there, but their puzzle piece was created by many other things. And it could be, you know, it could be personal losses. It could be, you know, bad things that happen in their life. It could be good things that happen in their life. It's many things for the personality that changes that person. So it's not just like, you know, like me, I've jumped around in a lot of businesses, you know, and not a lot, a good amount, you know, like any entrepreneur who's trying to figure it out would, you know, but and I've learned my strengths and weaknesses certainly, but it wasn't as much some people go through those extreme circumstances that molds them into the person that fits that puzzle in that one business. And it appears like, oh, they just tried out their first business and look how successful they are. But, you know, everybody's got their own stuff.
Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, I see two types of people I've seen, like, the most successful, kind of like that first swing success is always military people and people that are very physically fit.
Yeah.
Those are the two people that I've always seen with like the highest probability of success right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because what does military and physically fit people have in common?
Discipline.
Discipline.
Yeah.
Courageousness.
Yeah. Sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice things.
Sacrifice.
Understanding that growth and everything is a process.
And also understanding the delayed gratification.
Yeah.
So they, and I mean, look, military, you can go through boot camp. You're getting this drilled in your mind for 6 months or 3 months, whatever the time period is. So, like, you're still going through those growing lessons. Mm-hmm. You're just going through it a different mechanism than, say, starting a business. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I see that struggle so much with starting a business is because they haven't learned these things. And then the first time they have failure, they immediately think, oh, this business is bad. I need to move on.
They're bad. They're bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been through that. Many times, you know, and it's 100% true. It's like, if you can't exude that discipline, like right now, like I feel personally, like I don't feel physically fit. Mm-hmm. I have been in the past, you know, and I feel like I have allowed myself in the starting of this new business that I started last year, at least, to loosen up on those things, to focus so much because I'm dealing with an onslaught of different things and this podcast, everything like that. So I'm just kind of holding on and maintaining and trying not to go over the edge, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know that that's holding me back, you know, because if I was roaring on all cylinders, I would be making better strides, certainly. But I'm also a human being and I'm not perfect, you know, and I have to forgive myself for that.
Yeah, and I think that's something people a lot of people struggle with is, everybody, you know, man, you expect to be perfect.
Yeah,
and look, quite frankly, like, I still have days where I feel down. There's still some days where, like, it takes me an hour, 2 hours longer to get started for the day just because, like, I'm tired or just, like, dealing with something.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone feels that, but the people that I see winning are the most successful, they understand how to get through that faster than everyone else. Like, I know people that they'll have one bad day and it turns into a whole bad week for them.
Yeah.
I might have a bad hour and that's it. By the end of the day, I'm good. Like, I've learned, and I think that's itself, it's its own skill set that people can develop and improve on.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's 100% true. I know that from experience too. And yeah, you can let those things, if something bad happens in your world, you know, or if you just wake up and you feel bad, or, you know, you're battling depression, anything like this, it is a skill, understanding where you're at and understanding that it, in a very vivid way, that it's temporary and that you're not going to be sitting there forever. And you might as well take those steps forward and get on out of that. And I've had to learn that over time. Yeah.
It's all mental loops. People, when you go through a mental loop, it's first off becoming aware if you're going through a mental loop. Yeah. And then what do you need to break that?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that get something stuck on their mind, that again carries into the week, carries into the month, carries into the year.
Yeah.
And it's because they've trained their mind just like a muscle to keep thinking like that. Mm-hmm. So just like going to the gym, you have to break that, and you have to, in its own way, it's its own muscle that you have to work every day. And it's not fun. And it's, you know, it can be painful at times. But when you do that, that allows you to break through levels in life at a significantly faster rate.
Yeah, it's so funny that when you are feeling that pain, it's like you want to keep going through that pain. Yeah,
feels good.
Why? That's so wild. But I know exactly what it is. Like, you just want to keep embellishing in that and, like, just keep feeling sorry for yourself. It's like that when you get into that stage, it's, like, more comfortable to stay there than to push yourself out with that muscle that you're talking about. It's fascinating.
It's easier. It's easier to sit down and dwell on the pain. It's easier to sit down and think about all your problems. It's easier to, you know, oh, my ex said this to me, I'm this person, blah, 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 cry on the couch. Yeah. It's easier to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not fun to break that. And it's a lot harder. And the gratification's a lot longer. But when you do, you realize that just how much more of an impact it'll have on your life.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting, man. It's fascinating. That's a very important piece of, I'm glad we got down that, because that's very much the kind of stuff that we're trying to talk about here. You know, I didn't send you any show notes, but we're hitting it right, right on the sweet spot. You know, we're right back there. Okay. So yeah, you got full time in digital marketing. You've obviously, we'll talk about your success in a little bit, but, were you scared when you stopped the other thing and you cut that income off? You know, did you feel some type of way as you went up? Did you have imposter syndrome getting into the space of advising people on how to deal with Facebook when, I mean, you're a young guy and you were younger then? Like, how did you feel about that?
Absolutely. Imposter syndrome.
Nice.
Everybody has that. has that.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, it was like I had imposter syndrome when I closed my first client. And it's actually funny because like when I closed my first client, like I hired someone to plan on getting them to come on and take board to help me fulfill that. And I actually just with my own skill set was able to get them good enough results. We're like, oh, wait, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know,
you were going to lean on somebody else just to make sure you had what you needed to get them the results that they wanted because you were scared that you couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think an imposter syndrome, like that's like one of the biggest things. It's like if you have the right, you know, support group, for example, that you can trust, it helps out with that imposter syndrome right there because you can always turn to them when like things go bad.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm really big into like boxing and stuff like that. And, you know, I've hired a personal trainer, like personal coach to do like lessons with me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't plan on ever like fighting competitively or professionally or anything like that. But, you know, if I were to go and just like step in the ring with no training at all, no coach in my corner, stuff like that, like I would have a ton of fear and anxiety and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I have a reason to, because I just simply did not have the preparation. I didn't have the support group or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if I were hypothetically to go step in the ring, I have a coach in the corner who's been there, who's done it for me, to where if I encounter any problems, I could easily turn to that person.
Yeah.
And that's where like having a mentor is so important when you're achieving anything. And, you know, I think at the time, like that's another like something a lot of business owners struggle with, is because they develop this ego that I need to do this all myself. And, you know, if I could go tell myself back like one thing, anything back in the day, would be to hire a mentor faster.
Yeah.
And that's simply because like a mentor, you know, it's cringy because a lot of them promote their stuff as like mentors having a real life cheat code.
Then
they'll sell you their course right after they say that. But
right.
To be fair here, they really are correct. It's so nice being able to have that support group to where when you do take on something challenging or difficult, either, you know, having a mentor or someone that's been there and done that, to where if anything does go south, you can immediately reach out to that person. Hey, you know, I'm running ads for my first client and, you know, they just sent me this message and I don't really know how to answer it. Cool. Here, just say this and then boom, and they're good to go versus trying to figure it out themselves and then just messing everything up.
Yeah. 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 That's really interesting. We've talked about that a little bit, like, and I had that, you know, I even said on one of these podcasts, it's on film. I was like, man, in the past, you know, like I did want to do it all myself, you know, and I felt like I had to just put that cross on my back and go up the hill alone, probably because my ego wanted to be the only one that it points to once it succeeds, that it was all me, you know, and once I started talking to people and really realizing how helpful people can be anyway and how willing people are to help you in different situations. I guess I was never open to it, so I didn't see it as much in the past. But now that I'm super open with it, it's a beautiful thing. It's crazy. Everybody will help you, you know? And you, yeah, like paid ones, paid mentorships, paid training, paid coaching, like that's some valuable stuff too. But there's also people that can just surround you in different areas of your life that aren't interested in that. They don't need to get paid. They can just guide you in different areas. Maybe not business. Business is a money driven thing, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, you're gonna have coaches that expect to be compensated.
But yeah, that was the biggest thing for me. It's like you brought up ego and everything like that.
Yeah,
and
you did too. Yeah,
you know, like for me, like I had that ego in the beginning as well.
Yeah,
and it was mostly from like kind of like, I always kind of think back of like why, like what was the reason for the ego? Like, you know, cause if I can understand,
you're human.
Absolutely. And it's like, if I could understand why I had that ego at that time, because if you've never resolved that in your life, you're going to make the same mistake again.
Yeah.
So, and like for me, it was like at the time, it was like, I almost felt like I had a chip on my shoulder because I had so many people like complimented me on how smart I am with like computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it just kind of made me feel like I had this ego and this extra chip that I could do this all myself. And, you know, now that I think about it, like, it's like, oh, you know, that could also kind of like damage you a little bit. So that's why it's like, it's good to surround yourself with people that positively uplift you and compliment you and everything. But also too, you need the people that kind of help you with, not saying knock you down or anything like that, but challenge you as well.
Yeah, 100%. I've had similar experiences too, man. It's, you know, and when you're getting told you're doing the right thing all the time and that you're, you know, God's gift to computers or whatever like that, it is very challenging to grow. You better have like some sort of crazy mentality or something, you know. It's just like anything else.
And it's funny because, you know, like, so like for me, for example, like going back to like the boxing example, like, you know, I've had a lot of success over the recent years and to the point where, you know, like my ego has been like raising and stuff and like business and stuff like that. And like, I keep a lot of people around me in business that one, checks that ego and two, allows me to kind of reframe that over and over to learn new things and challenge me and stuff like that. But picking up boxing in the last 2 years has been like the biggest thing that helped me out with that, because now that I'm starting to see success, I started a new activity that makes me go all the way back down to zero.
Yeah.
I've never had boxing experience, never even been in a fight, anything like that. Yeah. And then I pick up boxing and it's like, oh shit, now I finally feel like what it feels like to go back to ground zero in boxing.
Yeah.
And I got to experience all of those learning mistakes and all the different, I would say, like mindset things. Cause like, you know, in the beginning, you don't even want to show up because you don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah.
You know, when you hire a coach and they start pointing out all your flaws, you get aggravated and you want to like,
that's a good sign.
Punch your coach in the face almost.
That's a good sign that you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's exactly, that's just a sign that says, hey, your ego was a little crazy, you know, or you were driving a lot of your internal worth because of these things and this success or whatever it is, you know. That's awesome that you did that. Mm-hmm. That's a great point to make for the listeners of this podcast. Like that's a trick. That's a cheat code, you know, if there ever was one, you know. Yeah. Like if you feel like you're the best at something, you need to do something that you're the worst at, you know, or something that you at least start out at zero. That's a great thing to do. Just like this podcast for me, like I started at zero on this and, you know, it's checked my ego for sure. You know, and
the cool thing is like, you know, you learn the same characteristics that make you successful in one thing apply to everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, like for me, I did a diet. This is kind of when I first learned about characteristics and stuff like that, of like, you know, inconsistency and everything.
Yeah.
Back in like 2000, I want to say like 17 or 18, I did a diet, shredded down from like 180 to, you know, I'm sitting at like 170 right now. It's like 180. I shredded down to like 140, single digit body fat, all that stuff like that. And at the time I didn't really realize what I learned, but I learned consistency. And I learned to stop focusing on the outcome and start focusing on my daily actions. Mm-hmm. And when you focus on repeating the same daily actions every day for a long period of time, that's what creates success.
Yeah.
So when you look at people that may be quote unquote more successful than you, or maybe in a place that you want to be at in life, all they've done is just found those few key daily actions they need to focus on in every day and focused on that for a little bit longer than you.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, it's like, okay, what are the key daily actions that I need to do? And, you know, for example, this podcast, or, you know, growing a YouTube channel, or building a brand new business, or, you know, finding a girlfriend, or, you know, getting shredded for the summer coming up. What are the few daily actions that I just need to stay consistent with and focus on a daily basis that's going to create that outcome that I want? And then you actually end up getting that outcome way faster than just focusing on the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember having an epiphany one time. I was like, I was sitting at my desk at my house, and I was like, and I was into a diet too, you know, and I've been successful with diets in the past too. But anyway, I was sitting there, and I was like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, like I can do anything. Like, you know, all I have to do is decide what I want to do, and then figure out what actions are necessary for that to come true and do those things. And I didn't have that power until I realized I had power in the diet space. And I've been failing for a long time. I go up and down sometimes, you know. So I don't succeed at that. I haven't figured out how to do that lifelong, okay, myself personally. But at that time, and I still know it, obviously, I had like an epiphany. I was like, I can literally do anything as long as I just give myself time, you know, because it's 100% true, you know, like, especially when it comes to fitness. Fitness is the perfect example because there's immediate results and there's a physical and obvious change in what you're doing as far as the ins and outs, input and evidence of growth, you know. So that's the perfect example in a microcosm, you know. But really anything else is like that. The only thing that's different that you might not be able to manufacture that kind of situation is because you don't understand the business and you don't understand, you know, how these things work. You know, I'm sure that once I have a conversation with you, quick 5-minute conversation, I'm going to know everything about Facebook ads, right? You know, like I'm going to know everything. I'm going to be the Facebook ads guy. The guy and like and then I just got to do it and then I'm gonna make millions of dollars, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. One of those few key leverage high activities and stuff like that.
I hope that happens. But no, I'm sure it is like that too, just with Facebook ads. It's processes, it's programs, and it's doing those actions, and those actions take money and they take ads and they take the process and they take the lead capture and they take all those things. But once you figure it out and you know those things, and it's just a matter of doing those things in sequential order, right, to achieve the result.
Yeah, it's all about figuring out, like, what's the main high-leverage action. And something that, like, I like to do is that, like, I'm fascinated with, like, athletes and stuff like that, high-level professional athletes.
Right.
And I've kind of, like, skimmed down to about 3 daily actions that you can apply to any area in your life you want to improve. And same thing from like athletes, coming from athletes and stuff like that. And that is reviewing your game footage every day. So like, for example, if you are trying to run Facebook ads, reviewing previous ads you've ran and learning what you can do to improve on it. So review your game footage every day. It could be maybe building your business. What's some recent things you did in your business? Did they have a positive impact or negative impact right there?
Yeah.
Then you have your daily training sessions every day. So this might be spending 30 minutes reading a marketing psychology book if you're trying to get better at Facebook ads. This might be literally just you're trying to improve your marriage. You're reading a book on how to better cater towards your life or your wife and how to better show her how you love her and stuff like that. You might be reading a book on that.
Yeah.
So training every day, you're reviewing your game footage every day. And then you're actively going ahead and applying it and stuff like that.
Performing.
Yeah.
Game day.
If you can actively do that every single day, you can drastically start going ahead and improving your whatever skill set you're trying to do. And then also too, like research. That's also another one I like to call it. So like research for me is like, what are some top ads from like top brands right now? Why do they work so well? What's the key things?
Yeah.
So like if, you know, for example, even if like you're an amateur athlete, you're looking at top level athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if you're in a marriage that you just started out and you're trying to see what's some of the most successful marriages because you really love this girl and you want to be with her for a long period of time. What makes them so good? What's the really key things they're doing on a daily basis?
Yeah.
So research, review, and then actual application.
Mm-hmm.
You do that every day for whatever particular skill set you're trying to get better at. And I can guarantee you, if you stick with that every day and be disciplined and consistent with it, you will see better results in that particular area of your life.
Yeah. In that case, the obscurity, there's not any more room for the obscurity. You know what I mean? It's like the wide brim of everything you don't know just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where you know what to do, you know what you need to do, but it never ends, obviously. But like with business or the process, just like you're researching ads, you're looking at those top performing ads, like you learn a lot from it. So the obscurity gets smaller, you know. Really interesting. So you do back to your story a little bit. So you are where you are now. What do you think the hardest thing about starting an online business or otherwise finding all your clients online and Zoom meetings and Facebook Messenger and all this kind of stuff? What's been the hardest thing for you as far as like you being a person who does that? What's the hardest part about that? You know,
I would say my hardest thing besides just learning it was just systemizing. I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at it, like any time of like any business problems or struggles and stuff like that, is systemization, because everything is quite easy to do. And it's more assuming you're patient for long term, because like I was patient and I'm looking at a 5 to 10 year scale. You know, like I just started like investing heavily this year, but I'm not looking at like, how much money did I make at the end of the year? I'm looking at 10 to 20 year time frame right now for my investments.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the next 10 years, not really making much from investments. So for me with the Facebook ad side, it was the same thing. Like I didn't really have I need to have $1 million business tomorrow.
Right.
So I was patient with understanding that these actions that I'm doing on a daily basis is going to take a little time. Mm-hmm. And then the hardest part though was the system side. Mm-hmm. That was probably the biggest thing for me. My biggest of just like, you know, when I was one person handling 6 clients, you know, mm-hmm. who's the person I need to hire to help me out with this? How do I need to build this and everything? And, you know, for me, it was like, I was trying to do it all myself still. And then, I eventually hired someone, and then I hired like 2 or 3 other people as well, just to mentor me around that. And that's what really allowed me to really rapidly grow the business to, you know, where it's at today.
Yeah. Interesting, man. Let's see, man. Do you think that most every business is, do you think social media advertising is going to be pretty much the 80 to 90% of spend at some level in the next 3 to 5 years?
I would say it's already at that.
You think so?
Like, I don't know. Unless you're like a, you know, a brand like Pringles or something like that, like
and you're doing Super Bowl ads, large
brand. Yeah, you're dominant Facebook ads,
but they're still. Those brands are still dumping into, you know, so even if they're still tapping into regular television stuff, all this, you know, whatever, radio, I guess, which would be nuts. I mean, I look at that as nuts, but I mean, I guess some people still listen to the radio, but yeah, those big brands are still finding influencers. They're finding different ways to advertise based upon eyeballs, you know, what people are focusing on. So I just would like to hear it from you.
You got to look at it. I mean, it's like, you know, people rarely ever listen to the radio now.
For sure.
They're Spotify, Pandora, whatever. Yeah. They listen to podcasts like this now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of cutting out radio advertising now.
Yeah.
Even like TV now. I mean, people watching Netflix, Amazon Prime, they're watching, you know, content on YouTube and stuff like that. They're not really sitting down and watching a TV show. People that are watching TV shows, they have it pre-recorded to where they can fast forward through the commercials now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some even pre-recorded like type things even just skip past the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So like commercials are getting less and less. Radio advertising is getting less and less. What's the number one thing people are spending the most time on their day right now?
Is their phones. Social media, yeah.
You know, Facebook. And
specifically social media. TikTok,
Instagram. Yeah, they're on social media. So. Yeah. And that's where it comes down to influencers, content creators, and then actual sponsored posts like we do and everything. That's where we put our dominant focus at.
Where do you think the most untapped or unused platform, if you will, for advertising for small business? You know, what do you think? Facebook is a juggernaut, right? Like that's the main, because of all of the ways you can advertise, right? Like, I don't understand. Is that right? I don't know. And because of the dynamics of the viewership there, it's everybody. It's not just people who like Instagram. It's not just, you know, a lot of younger kids, maybe they're on those other platforms, but they all have Facebook too. But they're not spending maybe as much as the people that are on Facebook. So is Facebook the best place to do it?
Facebook's the best place. Generally speaking. Facebook and Instagram, that's the best two places.
Okay.
I think for local businesses, I think the biggest things that they're untapped in is creating content that people actually want to watch.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like I'm not really a big club person and stuff like that. Right. But, you know, I've traveled to cities and I've pulled up clubs on like Instagram and stuff that have just this phenomenal content feed. They have like a videographer that goes create videos every night of people partying and stuff like that.
Yeah, showing the environment, showing
they're showing off to people what people want.
It's kind of easy in that space.
Yeah
for ads as
and it's like, you know, when I look at bars and clubs around our area, like no one's doing that.
Yeah.
No one at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's such an easy thing. And you can apply that to your business, regardless what you're selling in, in Lafayette, for example.
Yeah.
I'm calling that out right there.
Yeah.
It's they're creating content to really articulate and showcase to people, hey, I know this is what you want, a fun night. So I'm going to show you a fun night every day on your Instagram feed to where you're going to associate that feeling with coming to our place.
Yeah.
And that's like a big part of what we do right there. What are feelings and emotions people want to feel, and showcasing that in the video or photo.
What about the cross emotional feel that's unrelated to the product or service that you offer? Like, what if I go out there to a club and I video all that stuff and then I show it on my construction company page? Okay, so where does that end? And is it, it's just business specific, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm out here and I catch people's attention in a very fun and creative way, they would probably still have a positive connection to my brand. Some way they'd be like, look at these guys, you know, look at what they're doing. It may not tell them anything about my product or service, but it would probably elicit some sort of reaction.
So on the flip side of that, right there,
yeah,
this is where you got to narrow down your construction business. Who's your ideal audience?
Yeah.
So let me give you a great example really quick. This is where positioning comes in play.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you position your brand? How do you want people to perceive your brand?
Yeah.
So your construction business, I'll give you a great example. There's this guy on Instagram. Mm-hmm. He's an electrical engineer, you know, just like the regular people that you call to come to your house to run, you know, some lights and stuff like that, add a breaker box and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, this dude only creates content of installing electrical rooms on houses. These are houses that are like $2 million plus with a whole room dedicated to like your breaker box, your server, your hot water tanks, all in one designated room.
Yeah.
So he's positioned himself to only appeal to a wealthier demographic.
Yeah.
And he's also able to charge significantly more to where he only needs a few deals a week and he hits that higher ticket.
Yeah.
So the way he creates his content is he wants to showcase how like
premium
in depth he goes with every job
to
have in that increased perceived value of what he does.
Yeah.
And then he also only showcases these nice houses, and that's going to appeal to someone with a nice house. You know, if he's only showcasing like trailer park, for example, like they wouldn't really take him serious right there.
That's true.
So for like with your construction content, like construction is very broad, what specifically can you niche down within construction and how can you appeal to the wealthier demographic that's going to allow you to charge more and make more per job? And I mean, me and you both know, like we both want to do less work and make more. That's everyone's dream job right there.
Sure.
And that's how you can go after that wealthier demographic. That's like one of my favorite ways to go when it comes down to like charging more. Give you a great example. I just started off with a performance coach. That's what he calls himself.
Yeah.
All he is is someone that makes meal plans and, you know, does like your workout plans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But he called himself a performance coach. He's able to charge significantly more, and he only works with entrepreneurs because entrepreneurs are willing to toss 4K to 10K to make a little bit more money by having increased performance in their business.
Yeah.
So you can position yourself to appeal to a certain demographic, and then it's like, what type of content do we need to create that's going to resonate with them around our product or service?
Yeah. Fascinating, man. I've thought about it, you know, in my company, it does do very specific things, but it's also, we'll talk about it later, you know what I mean?
Sounds
but
good.
But it's interesting, you know, it's a different kind of thing. But yeah, anyway, we'll talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, that all makes perfect sense. And everybody should think about those things, right? Like, not only should you be putting content out, and I hope somebody who owns a bar in Lafayette hears this, because I didn't know that. I mean, I don't see that. I don't follow that kind of stuff anyway. But that's a huge thing. You know, that emotional response that you're getting from the content is really where the action. That's where people make decisions. That's where people decide whether or not they like a brand or not, right?
Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to is like, what do people want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's more focusing on like the local, like Lafayette area and stuff like that. So like if you own a nice restaurant, what do people want to feel? They want to feel catered to. They want to feel cared for when they come to your restaurant.
Yeah, for sure.
They want a delicious meal. So you want to showcase people being catered for, cared for, and you want to showcase your delicious food and everything like that. And that's like a big thing. And then also too, a little bit of an experience as well over there. Like, what's that experience when they go over to that place?
Yeah.
If you just post a picture of your plate lunch every single day that you serve, it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah. So, and you're also making it only about that plate.
Correct.
Right? Like you're not showing anything else.
Correct.
So everybody thinks they're just putting you, then mm-hmm. the people that are consumers who are potential buyers there are going to only look at plate versus plate. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you have an outstanding atmosphere and that, but somebody else's plate is better, mm-hmm. but you've put yourself in the plate versus plate situation, right?
Yeah. And then also too, showcase like your chefs in the background, showcase how much work goes into every plate.
Yeah.
Like you start to showcase a little bit more of that experience.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing that I see a lot of business owners make a mistake with content creation is A, they hire some just random person that just doesn't really know what they're doing. And they just start posting pictures of randomly every day. For and sure. It's like, you know, come see us today.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swipe
past
you.
I say that all the time.
And then the other thing is they focus more on, I just lost my train of thought right there. Oh, they focus more on giving away their industry secrets. Yeah. So, hey, I run Facebook ads. Here's the life of running a Facebook ads agency. Yeah. As a customer who needs Facebook ads, I do not care what you do as a Facebook ads agency owner. I care about what you can do for me.
Yeah.
So if I'm owning a restaurant in Lafayette, for example, I'm not going to go out there and showcase, here's what it's like owning a restaurant. I do not care as your customer. I want to know the experience you're going to provide for me when I go to your restaurant.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that you can, I think that's super undervalued that a lot of businesses are doing is that they're not leveraging local influencers in the area. That's a really big one because local influencers, people want to be like them. At least for the most part, you know, you take any girl and for example, like Lafayette, for example, with like 20, 30K followers in Lafayette, you know, she's pretty popular and stuff like that. You go put her at a particular spot and you say, hey, look, I'll let you have a free meal every month, whatever you want, just for you though, as long as you post about it every time you come. Then it's like, oh, where's she? She eats this place. I want to be like her. I'm going to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That's really good stuff. Man, this is a lot of great information, man. Thanks for sharing all this stuff.
You're welcome, man.
So what do you think, where are you going with all this stuff? You know, are you just going to continue going on, getting better at your craft? Are you trying to be a specific person within this industry? You know, what are you, you know, as we're kind of wrapping it up, we've been going for probably about an hour. I don't know. So where are you going with all this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just love it. Like,
yeah, that's great. That's great.
I think long term, I look at myself in a way as like the Grant Cardone of marketing. I've been trying to get it a little bit more into. And the reason why I say that is because it's like marketing and sales, those are the two activities that you can do and it can be applied to any niche.
Yeah.
Like, and marketing's been around since, I think, like, you know, copywriting in general has been around, I think, since like 1890s, I won't even say like maybe as low as like 1870s.
It's been around since humans have.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like regardless of the paperwork.
So it's always going to present itself just in new mechanisms.
Yeah.
Radio advertising, newspaper advertising, all this. But it's the same human psychology we're doing. The same way we create charts and TikToks and reels and stuff like that is the exact same way people are getting attention in newspapers.
Yeah.
It's just format it differently. Instead of putting words down, we're talking about it like this.
Yeah, posting videos.
So for me, it's just something I'm passionate about. I'm fascinated with. So yeah, my curiosity to get, it just drives me to get better every day. Like, you know, I look at people like a top copywriters like Dan Kennedy, for example. And it's like, you know, how do I get to that level? And what do I have to do to get there? And how do I keep perfecting my craft? From there. And it's probably the one thing that I'm like, if there's anything I could do for free and just enjoy it, it's that thing.
Yeah.
I do daily now.
Yeah.
So my drive to just get better at it and continue to help people in multiple different facets. So obviously I have like my YouTube channel that gives all of this for free. I have my clients that come on board and we help them and do this for them. I have over 100 plus mentored students that I mentor on a monthly basis right now as well. Yeah. And I recently just launched my own education program, teaching people how to like marketing and all that good stuff now. Mm-hmm. I just want to continue to grow in this space. And I mean, to be fair, like at the end of the day, like I love to win, you know, just like mm-hmm. anyone else. So yeah. I just want to continue to dominate and grow in it. That's my big thing, you know?
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, as we wrap it up, man, I do something, usually, you're a little bit different than a lot of guests that I have, but what I do is I ask the guest to look into the camera and assume that there's somebody out there. It may not apply to you, but it may. But I ask them, you know, to give their best advice to help that person get to that next level. They feel like they don't have the tools necessary to succeed. Mm. They're going through something very tragic, very, very hard maybe. And what would you say to that person to help them get over that scenario that they're dealing with, you know?
So someone that's currently going through some deep stuff right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if you had to tell somebody you really cared about who needed your help, you know, or they felt like they could not get over this thing, okay? And this is an emotional question. So we've been talking about marketing. We didn't get super deep with the mind. But if you got something like that, it could be like a new entrepreneur who feels like, hey, look, I've taken a crack at this thing, and I just can't do this, man. You know, like what would you tell that person? You've obviously been successful. You've learned a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Give them some advice, man.
Man, that's a tough question right there. Because there is a lot that I could tell you, someone right there. You know, for me, it's like, who do I need to show up as a daily basis to become successful? And if there's just one characteristic that I could just focus on and be the best at, what is that thing? For me, it was consistency. So I know for me, like, as far as I can remember, I think it was like 2014, I started telling myself this quote, and I still tell myself this quote every single day. It's look up, get up, and never get up, or never give up. So basically what it means is, hey, like when you're down, you've been hit with some shit and stuff like that, just say, hey, look up, get your shit back together, and just never get up. Give one more swing at it. You can quit tomorrow, just not today.
Yeah.
And anytime you feel like quitting, you can quit tomorrow, just not today. And as long as you stay consistent every single day and just swing at it a little bit more, then you're going to increase your chances of being successful. So even though that you may feel bad and maybe feel down, just go back to, hey, what do I need to do? What's that one thing that I need to do to get one step closer? Yes, it sucks right now. Yes, I'm going through a lot of shit right now, but this is what's going to make me successful. That's sitting down there and dwelling at that aspect right there. And then obviously, like I said, having the right people around you, having the support group and even people that may have been there and done that as well, that helps a lot too. But you know, sometimes you don't have that luxury, and sometimes it may need to be literally just go and watch like some YouTube videos and stuff like that of hearing other people's stories to understand that, hey, like as long as I stay consistent, stay focused, you will get there in the end.
Yeah. Excellent, man. Thank you so much. You know, funny. You said, don't give up, man. That's what Rudy's thing says. I'll show you on the way out. It says, to bow, dream big and never quit. Rudy, come on the podcast, dude. You've got a good story, and I want to hear it in this chair, okay? But I really enjoyed speaking with you, man. It was a lot of great information. I can't wait to have, like, a relationship with you going forward in business, whatever it is, because you're obviously a wealth of knowledge on that. And I know that the people who are watching, if they're business people, they got a lot of information, a lot of data, a lot of everything from you. So you're kind of like you're not just marketing, you're everything. You have built yourself into marketing as well, you know? So I'm impressed with you, and congratulations on your success, and thanks for stopping in and sharing this with us, man.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you next time on One Big Head Game.